Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 41, Genesis, chapter 41, as we continue our series we've been on, going through the life of Joseph, and a very helpful, practical study in the life of Joseph. Joseph is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And how he handles things has biblical principles that we can continue to apply to our lives today, handling these things with the very same biblical principles in view. And I trust it has been a blessing, a help, watching what God has been doing in Joseph's life as we've been going through and studying this. The theme of the life of Joseph is God is able to work all things out for good. Now, we have Romans 8:28 in the New Testament that, again, helps us to understand that biblical principle. To those who love the Lord, those who are called according to His purpose, you love the Lord, you're going to be obeying His commandments. You're called according to His purpose, then you're going to be in His will. And when you do what God would have us to do and we're in the will of God, He's going to work it all out for good. And no matter what it might look like in any given moment, sometimes our lives seem to be in a mess, and yet if we continue to be faithful and look to God and just continue to do right, you'll find God's working that out, and there's going to be good come out of it somewhere down the line. And it is so vividly seen in the life of Joseph, sold by his brothers into slavery. What good can come out of that? Amen? He didn't have to worry about messing with his brothers for the rest of his life. It was over. But 17 years of age, sold by all of his older brothers into slavery, and then became a slave and elevated to Potiphar's right-hand man, then lied to about by Potiphar's wife, and all sorts of things. All these things, at times, it didn't look like he was a blessed man. But we find that God had His hand upon him, and eventually he got to where God had prepared him to be. And we studied that last week, future blessings for Joseph. And he's now where God wanted him to be, and he's equipped to do what God wanted him to do. And so now he starts enjoying the blessings of serving the Lord and being able to take on a wife. And God blessed him with a wife. God blessed him with a position, a platform by which he could use those talents and the wisdom that God had given to him, and then He gave him children. And we find that we ended this with seeing Joseph's heart in the names of his children. It helped him to identify with what God had done for him. And you look there with me, and that's bringing us up to where we're at tonight. Verse 51 and verse 52, and Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And he finally, when he got to where he was at, it all started making sense. And although it didn't go away, but it faded away. You know, all the past and some of the hurt and everything that he had experienced up to that point, it started fading away because he realized God had a purpose for all things. What a blessing of there. And then the next it says, in the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God, and he puts it on, this is what God has done for me, and I'm naming my children the name that will allow others to know this, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And God has allowed him to be fruitful. Now he is at the right hand of Pharaoh, and he's placed in a position to be used by God. And he knows he has future blessings ahead of him because he is where God wants him to be. He's got a position now, a platform by which he can use to accomplish what God has him there in Egypt to accomplish. And so what a blessing thus far. So that's where we're at tonight. We're going to be looking from there to the rest of the chapter, verse 53 down to verse 57. Chapter 41, verse 53 down to verse 57. So go ahead and stand with me. And we'll continue with our study on the life of Joseph. What comes next? What comes next? Verse 53. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, now I love this, I've got it underlined, go unto Joseph. Isn't it nice to have somebody, oh, go to him. What a blessing it is, amen. You ladies, some your kids, no, go talk to dad. You know, and there's always somebody, if you can pass it on to somebody else, you know, to be able to take care of the problem, what a blessing it is to have somebody there that you can pass it on to. And but there's going to come a time when you are the one that it's passed to. Go to Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries came unto Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Tonight, as we look to this, I've entitled it, God blesses Joseph's so that Joseph could be a blessing. God's blessings upon our lives are always to prepare us to be a blessing. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before You, Lord, we thank You for church. Thank You for how You've established it, knowing that it's what we would need in order to remain faithful, to be encouraged, to have a place of refuge. Thank You for church. Thank You for this midweek service that we can come together and study Your Word and look into this life of Joseph, and oh, it's so rich. I just pray tonight that each one here would have that ear to hear exactly what You have for them. And not only will they hear it, but they will understand it and be able to make it applicable to their lives wherever they might be. Work in our midst tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Going to Joseph. God had prepared Joseph. God had positioned Joseph. If you will, God had blessed Joseph so that Joseph could be a blessing. For 13 years, sometimes we think that it has to happen overnight. Well, God, You got to make me a blessing. Got to do it all overnight so I can accomplish what I want to accomplish tomorrow. I can be where I need to be tomorrow. And sometimes we read the Scriptures, we think, well, it just happened overnight. 13 years. From being sold into slavery. Now think about it. Joseph had it. I mean, he was living life. He was the favorite son of his father. He was put in charge over his older brothers. What a blessing that would have been. Amen. All the younger siblings always would love to be in a position they could tell their older siblings what to do. And he had the authority to tell them. He had been positioned over his other brothers. He was representing Jacob. He was being blessed. I mean, loving life. And he was sold into slavery. After being sold into slavery, it would be 13 years before he would be brought before Pharaoh. God saw it all along. God knew where He wanted him to be in 13 years. And He knew what he had to go through to get him ready, prepared for that. Joseph, first of all, during those 13 years, was being exposed to circumstances beyond his control. He would have not chose that for himself. He would have not chose to be sold into slavery. He would not have been chose to be lied about by Potiphar's wife. He would have not chose to have stayed in prison for 2 years after he had interpreted the prayers or the dreams of the chief butler. For 13 years, it was not in his control. When we're going through life and we have to go through some things, it might not be what we choose. If I look back over my life, I guarantee I would not have chosen certain things to have happened to me. I would not have chosen to have to go through certain experiences of life. But when it's beyond our control, He's in control. For 13 years, he had no say-so over being sold, placed in prison, taken out of prison. God controlled the circumstances for those 13 years. The next 7 years is what we studied last week. For the next 7 years, Joseph was preparing to be used by God, to be a blessing. Knowing that in these seven plenteous years, people wouldn't look to him. They had no need for him. He might not have the influence over the people that he had a position, but the people thought, well, just another servant or another leader. We're going to do our thing. We don't need him. We don't need to listen to what he has to say. For 7 years, he was preparing, knowing what was to come. He was preparing for the years of famine. So first 13 years, it was circumstances beyond his control. Once he realized and God revealed to him through Pharaoh's dreams what would take place the next 14 years of his life, he understood why God had brought him to where he was at and why he had learned all the things that God had taught him for those 13 years. And now what he's looking to do is start applying what God had taught him and applying the wisdom of God for the next 7 years when he was in control of his circumstances and what he was doing. But now he is preparing for the 7 years of famine. The next 7 years, Joseph was preparing to be used by God to be a blessing. Part of the solution to preserve Israel and others. When God puts you where He wants you to be, wherever that might be, God's children are always going to be part of a solution to help those in need. You're not the solution, but you're part of God's plan for a solution. What America needs is to look to Christianity as a solution for her problems. But Christianity has to have a testimony that would lead America to look to. Your children, whether you realize that or not, parent, you will be part of the solution to whatever problems they have in life. God intended that. That's why He has given them the commandment to always honor you. But to be part of the solution, you have to present yourself as someone they can look to find help in time of need. God's people, part of the solution for whatever problems might come in your generation. After 7 years of plenteousness, 7 years of plenteousness, no one had any problems. I mean, everything, economy was booming. Everything was growing. They had plenty of food. It's much easier to be happy and content when you have everything that you need and want. After seven plenteous years, there would be 7 years of famine. No food. Verse 53. And the 7 years, now this already told us where Joseph's at. For that 7 years, he's saying, God is working in my life. I'm forgetting about what happened to me because now I'm looking to accomplish what God has me to accomplish here in Egypt. And it calls me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Verse 53, and the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. Joseph now is going to be tested. Joseph now is going to be positioned to where others would look to him. Verse 55, when all the land of Egypt was famished, when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh. They hadn't learned to cry out to God yet, because Joseph hadn't looked to Joseph to understand what enabled Joseph to be where he was at. What enabled Joseph to have the peace and contentment? What enabled Joseph to have the blessings upon his life? What enabled Joseph to interpret the dreams? What enabled Joseph to be prepared for the storms of life? Wow. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, I don't have what you have, what you need. But we do have something. We have somebody that is prepared to take care of you and meet your need. Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. Wow. Now this is Pharaoh, the most powerful man, telling them to go to Joseph and do what he says. What a position that Joseph had. Through the fulfillment of prophecy, Joseph was positioned to be able to be a blessing. Because the people now are paying attention to what Joseph had said and will say. Because now they know what he predicted before the prophecy of the seven lean years, it's upon us. And so now he had a position that the people would listen. He was positioned to be able to be a blessing. Now, understanding this and studying this, Joseph was blessed to be a blessing. Can I tell you that God is working in our lives to position us and to make you a blessing? The first thing I have tonight is use what God has taught you. Joseph, I believe, had learned more than he even realized over those 13 years. He was learning things that he didn't know how that they would come into play later on. But he was learning everything that he would need to learn in order to have this position and how to deal with people and how to do all the things that he did for 13 years. Now Joseph would need to use what God had taught him. Can I take you to 2 Corinthians in chapter 1? 2 Corinthians in chapter... biblical principle. That's what you... life of Joseph, biblical principle. It's established in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. It's found throughout the New Testament, the teachings of Christ. But here, very clear, very clear. Use what God has taught you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul here, addressing the believers at Corinth, says this, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Paul had learned that God was a Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. And look what he says in verse 4. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What does that mean? It means that God's blessed you to be a blessing. God has taught you to look to Him to find the comfort that you'll need so that you can tell somebody else to look to God for the comfort they'll need. Joseph had learned to trust in the Lord, always making godly decisions. Joseph had learned that he had no control of the circumstances, the being sold into slavery, but he soon learned in slavery, the only one that I can truly trust in right now to get me through this is not my family. It's not those that I might have thought that I could look to, that I would always be able to look to Dad, and Dad's not there any longer. I could always have, I've got all of these older brothers and I've got all these different relatives and I'll be able to look to them and they'll be able to help me through whatever I need, and they are no longer there. And so being sold into slavery, Joseph, the only one, and those that bought him to sell him, they wasn't looking to take care of Joseph. They were looking to see to Joseph, I'm going to keep you strong enough so that I can get the most money out of you. Going to use you to benefit me. And that's the philosophy of most of worldly minded individuals, is just to look to you to see what they can gain from you and use you for self promotion. And so whatever's going on in your life and whatever might be there, the one thing that we need to learn is that I can always trust in the Lord. He's the one person that will never leave me nor forsake me. It's the one person who will never turn away from me, who has a love for me, an undying love, an inseparable love, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And what I must do in order to trust in the Lord is to continue to make godly decisions one after another. After another, after another. No matter what it might seem to do. No matter what, the end does not justify the means. No matter what, how it turns out, I still need to continue to make godly decisions, or decisions that God wants me to make, because ultimately He's the one that I can put my trust in. He's the one that I can count on. And what keeps me in the will of God and keeps me with the hand of God upon my life is making those right decisions. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And the truth that you know about that is, if God's for you, it doesn't matter who's against you, because you and God are a majority. Just make sure that you are making the decisions that are pleasing the Lord. Joseph learned that. Joseph had learned throughout all of his 13 years, when he could not control the circumstances, just keep making godly decisions. Because I look back, it didn't seem like that was going to be the right decision. Because I made the right decision and I still was convicted of lying and put in prison. Because somebody else lied. But it didn't matter, because as long as he made the right decision, God controlled the circumstances even in the prison house to get him out of prison. Have you learned that? Have you learned when you do it God's way, eventually it turns out for good? And when I start doing it my way, I always mess my life up. Might seem good at the time, but before too long I realize that was a mistake. You've learned that. Tell somebody. Something that you've learned. You have what a lot of people need to hear, but you have to tell them. You can share that with them. I love the testimony that Laura made the other night. Her life is a wreck. And she just started making right decisions. Because somebody told her, just make right decisions. No matter what happens, just keep making right decisions. And it works. It works. It's when we fail to make right decisions, thinking that our decisions are better than what God's decisions would be, is when we mess up. Just keep making right decisions. No matter what the circumstances, they're beyond your control. Just keep making right decisions. And God will work things out. And He'll position you to be able to tell somebody else. Might be 13 years down the road. It might be a younger person that you find yourself having an opportunity to counsel that's about ready to make some of the decisions that you almost made. And you'll be able to say, you know, I've been where you at. And I know it doesn't seem like it's what you need to do. But make the decision God wants you to make. I'm a living example, living proof it works out. Works out. Joseph had learned to trust in the Lord and always make godly decisions, one decision, right decision after another. And God's allowed you to learn that so that you might be able to share that with somebody else. Joseph had learned to humble himself, to be a servant, not to give in to pride. He was second man to his father, over his brothers and all the servants. And it's seemingly overnight now he's sold into slavery. He swallowed his pride. And so I'm going to make the best out of the circumstance of my life. I'll be a servant, the best servant I can be to Potiphar. You know what you have to do in order to do that? Swallow your pride. Pride would say, well, no, don't you know who I am and where I came from, and you want me to be a servant and start doing the lowly tasks of a servant? Not me. And he'd have been beaten, and he'd have been kept in a prison cell, and he'd have been probably had a short life. He swallowed his pride and said, this is what the circumstances dictate that I have no control over. If I need to, I'll clean the commodes. I'll sweep the floors. I'll flip burgers. Whatever I have to do, I'm just going to make one right decision after another. And if it means swallowing my pride, I'll swallow my pride. Pride hinders us. Pride will hinder you every time. Satan uses pride to hinder more people than anything else. He learned to swallow his pride. Don't give in to pride, overcome it. Be a servant. Do whatever it takes. Praise the Lord for that. I guarantee you there's many out there that are going to be defeated by pride. And as a born-again believer, you can help them by saying, you know, you need to learn to swallow your pride. I know they did this, and I know they've said that, and this is going on, that's going on. But you know, pride is what seeks vengeance. Pride is what seeks you to seek after your own self, selfish ways. Why don't you bury the pride? Take the higher road and be the servant that God wants you to be. Praise the Lord for that. Can I tell you, that'll save so many people so much heartache. You've learned that. You've learned that. You've learned what so many other people need to hear. If you'll just tell them. If you'll just be willing to be used by God. Joseph was blessed to be a blessing. We need to use what God has taught us. Joseph had learned self-discipline. Not to yield to fleshly lusts or desires. I guarantee you there was the flesh told him to yield to Potiphar's wife. I mean, you're not the one pursuing her, she's pursuing you. Wouldn't be your fault if you just yielded to it. She's the one. But yet self-discipline. Realize that's not what God would have me to do. need to say no when it's right to say no. Say no to Potiphar's wife. Patiently waited in prison for God's timing. Now what took that? 2 years. After he had interpreted the butler's dreams, and the butler said, "Yeah, I'll tell Pharaoh about you." He was thinking, well, the next day I ought to be released from prison. For 2 full years, the Bible says, he hadn't heard from anybody. He could have gotten bitter, couldn't got upset, and just said, "I'm not going to help anybody else because of what that person did to me. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to be used by anybody else. I'm just going to be as selfish and self-centered, do my thing. I'm not going to be working on the bus route. I'm not going to be teaching a Sunday school class. I'm not going to work junior church." But he disciplined himself. He disciplined his thinking to think, that's not right. Disciplined himself to be patient, to know what he knew, to realize that God had a purpose. Can I tell you that there's a lot of people that's going to make a lot of mistakes and a lot of just because they've not disciplined themselves. They need somebody to come alongside them and say, "You know, I've been there. Just need to wait it out. Be patient. Trust in the Lord. Don't yield to the flesh. Ask God to strengthen you. Make spiritual decisions. Do right." Amen. What I'm saying that Joseph was blessed to be able to be a blessing, and one of the first things that he was to do is to use what God had taught him so that he could prepare to be a blessing. Using all these things for 7 years to be a blessing after that 7-year period had passed. Can I also say, use what God has given you. Not only what He's taught you, but use what God has given to you. For 7 years, Joseph laid up. The Bible says there, throughout and back in our text there, go back with me to chapter 41 of Genesis. You following me tonight? Everybody's getting this. What a blessing. Just life of Joseph and biblical principles that we find here. Joseph was laying up. No one else was laying up. Why? Because it was plenteous. You're disciplined, you're doing that. I'm going to spend it while I have it. Joseph knew what was coming, and he knew he needed to lay up. In verse 48 it says, "And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, and the food of the field which was round about every city, laid he up in the same." For 7 years Joseph had laid up food. Now he would wisely be ready and willing to distribute it. He was laying up so that he could be a blessing. You know the mentality of most people today that have much? I earned it. I laid it up when they should have been laying it up. Now they're in need. I'm not helping them. They should have laid up like I laid up. They should be more disciplined. Should they? Yeah, they probably should. They should have thought ahead. Should they? Yes, they probably should have. Shouldn't have given in to the flesh. Shouldn't have done some of the things. But that's not the case. They're in need. And they're in need. And we have plenty. And what would God have us to do with the plenty? Well, hoard it. I don't think that's what the Bible principle is. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter, and there's so many other. Jesus taught it over and over again. But I love it how it's presented in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul writes to Timothy and he says to Timothy, a young pastor, to his people, he says, charge them charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Look right here. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Who gave it to you? Who gave you the wisdom to lay it up? Who allowed you to be blessed to that place? God. If God is truly the one that I acknowledge that has blessed me and allowed me to do whatever it is that I do and to earn whatever it is that I earn, should we not look to God and be willing and ready to distribute as God would have us to? Now notice, Joseph didn't give it away because they would have not had respect for it. Before you know it, they would have eaten up all of what he had stored up. He used wisdom to give out portions and only sell portions to be able to allow it to last for the 7 years. Because they had already shown that they were not disciplined enough to lay it up. Now, I don't think we just give just to be giving. I think we have to use wisdom. As he tells them, but understand who gave it to you, all who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Ready to do whatever God would have you to do with what he has blessed us with. Not only what he has taught us we need to be willing to pass on, but also what he has given to us we need to be willing to distribute as God would have us to. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, Paul presents it in such a great way to those concerning missions. And we'll use this in our faith promise missions, always looking to this passage of Scripture. But in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 5 it says, "And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Before you look to distribute anything, you had better look to God and say, "God, thank you for how you have enabled us to have plenty, how you have blessed us. And God, I know that you have blessed us so that we might be positioned to be a blessing. How would you have me to distribute? How would you have me to be a blessing?" Amen. I think in verse 12 of chapter 8, it says it all when it says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." You might say, "Well, I only have $100, or I only have just a little." It doesn't matter how much, is are you willing to do what God would have you do? You hear me say this often in our missions month. The most important lesson that the poorest person in this church needs to learn, and that is learn to be a giver. God, position me that I can give. God, if you bless me, I'll be a blessing. Amen. Yeah. We are blessed to be a blessing. Use what we've been taught. Use what we've been given. The other side of that, and we'll close with this, but go back with me. Genesis, because it's right here in Genesis 41. The other side of that is those who don't know the Lord. Haven't been taught those biblical principles. Those that haven't lived by those biblical principles. The other side of that is, in verse 57, "And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph," someone that God had positioned to be a blessing to others, "for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands." For those in need, you might find yourself on that end of it. Seek out a Joseph. Seek out someone that has the blessings of God upon their life. Seek out somebody that God would lead you to seek biblical counseling. seek out someone who can help you to make right decisions, one right after the other. To know what's right. In order to make right decisions, we have to know what decisions are right. You'll not make right decisions until you learn what decisions are right. And when you seek out from a Joseph to know what decisions to make, and you make them, you have the blessings of God. God wants to bless you so that He can position you to be a blessing, no matter who you are. God wants you to find a Joseph that can help you with what you need to learn so that you can be positioned to help those as a Joseph that might look to you. Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter, we'll not go there, we're done. But you know it. Jesus telling His disciples, ye are the light of the world. Don't hide it. I've positioned you to be the light of the world so that you might be a light. Amen. Those who are in darkness, they need the light. And He has positioned us and given us the light, what they have need of. We just have to be willing to be used to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. If we're like the world, we've lost our saltiness and we cannot be used because we don't have the blessings of God upon our lives. God works to bless us so that we may be a blessing. You want the blessings of God? Truly desire, and God knows, to be a blessing. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Joseph, what a great picture of that. God blessed him, knowing that he would be a blessing. Even Pharaoh said, look to Joseph. All the other countries were told, look to Joseph. Because Joseph knows God. Joseph has been positioned to be a blessing. Wow. What a biblical principle. Something that we need to learn and learn well. Not going to have a musical invitation tonight. Very seldom do, but there's always an invitation. God spoke to you tonight. If you need to come, we invite you to come. Leave here tonight just with that thought on your heart. God, I want to be a blessing. Position me, and I'll be what you want me to be. I'll use whatever it is you teach me. I'll give whatever it is you want me to give. Just let me be a blessing. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of Scripture. Thank you for the life of Joseph, who for all those years went through so much, circumstances beyond his control. And then when he realized why he had went through that, then he purposely positioned himself to be used, to be a blessing. Part of the solution to the problems of the world. Help us to learn it. Help us to be part of that solution. Be willing and ready to be used however you want to use us. Now watch over us tonight as we leave here. Get us home safely and bring us back on Sunday, the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.